You know, every time we start a new year, there's always a principle with God about the first things, you know, that he will say that the first things, the firstling, you know, belongs to God. And it was always that, you know, people will have to bring the first fruits, you know. And this, when you check the offerings, when you go through the scriptures, you realize that in the law of Moses, they were always told that, you know, the first thing belongs to God, you know. And even starting with Abel and Cain, you know, when they decided to go back to God, and you would ask, wonder, why is it that they went to look for God, you know, because you can imagine these were children that were born out of Eden. You know, they had an idea. Their parents told them of this idea of God. And within them, they knew that they longed to take an offering. They longed to take a sacrifice. And the Bible tells us that in the course of time, you know, Cain, you know, planted a garden and had brought his some of the fruits. And Abel, you know, took care of sheep and brought some of the best of his lambs. And they brought them to God. And the Bible tells us by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice to God. And God was pleased because God looked at Abel and his offering and was pleased. But he did not look on favor with Cain and his offering. And when we see those scriptures, we see that it was not really the offering that God was concerned with, but God was first concerned with the worshiper. God was first concerned with Abel and Cain, because the Bible tells us God looked with favor on Abel and his offering. So the first thing, the first person, the first aspect that we are to bring before God is actually ourselves, you know, ourselves. And if we are to offer ourselves, if we are to dedicate the year to God, you know, before, beyond even offerings, beyond even things that we bring to God, the most important thing that we bring to God is ourselves. And that's why we, you know, we encourage one another and we encourage people that even as we start of a year, you know, as we start of a cycle, as we start of a birthday, it's always good to dedicate that first thing to God. That first thing is you. And even when we think of how God gives his son, his one and only begotten son, his first son. And the Bible says Christ became our first fruits for us. You know, that means that the first of God that came from God, because God desired that many sons be brought into glory from him, from Christ. He becomes our first fruit. So he becomes the firstborn son that is offered. God offers his firstborn son. And likewise, you know, when he was showing in the book of Moses, showing us through Moses that they should bring the first of their produce, the first of their animals, he even told them that the first child belongs to me. And the believers had, you know, the Israelites had to go and redeem, you know, this aspect. So there's a principle of the first. And when we understand that, and we put that in the first place, that's why let us take a key heed into what we offer God first. Even when we wake up, the first hour or the first words that we speak or the first things that we do, I mean, do we just go to our phones or do we offer up the fruit of our lips, which is our praise, as a thanksgiving, glorifying God for who he is, for what he has done. And anytime you put God first, he also places you first, because he shows us that he was found by those who are seeking for him. And if you seek me with all your heart, you will be found. He will be found. So God has placed it in a way that those who seek him, those who desire him, those who run after him shall be found. So let us be encouraged that let us continue to dedicate ourselves, continue to place him first and give him that first priority in our lives. And we shall continually see the blessing of the Lord in our lives. Yeah, so just want to look at, you know, we've been looking at the mysteries of God and the hidden wisdoms of God, and one of the simplest, and it's not really simple, but it's a mystery still. And this is what we call the mystery that has been hidden, you know, from the ages and from generations, and but has been revealed to his saints. And this we read in Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1. And when we read from verse 25, and Colossians chapter 1 from verse 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Now, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that there is a mystery that has been hid from the ages and from generations, but has been made manifest to the saints. And what is this mystery that he's saying? That there is a mystery that God had desired to make the riches of his glory, of his mystery, of this mystery. That God had a riches. God had a riches of his glory, which he hid. But he had wanted this glory to not only be for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And what is this glory? What is this riches that God had, the glorious riches of his glory that he has made available to the saints, available for the church? What is this riches? The riches is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when you look at this Christ, you need to ask yourself again, what does this Christ mean? Because we've been learning that Christ has various meanings depending on the context that it is used. Now, we have seen that initially when we looked yesterday, when we looked at the concept of Christ, the Son of the Living God, we were able to see that the Christ represented the office of the Son of God, or represented the King of glory that was to come, the King that the Jews expected to come, the King that the Messiah that they were trusting God for to come. But you see, one of the things that when you come to understand Christ, you will come to understand that Christ also represents the eternal Spirit of God that existed before and came and dwelt on the earth, became a man. And then that same Spirit is the same Spirit that came upon Christ, and he became Jesus Christ. And so when we speak of Christ, it also refers to the Spirit of Christ, or to the Holy Spirit in simple terms. And when the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, we are brought into union with Christ. We ourselves, initially from before time, were in Christ, because the Bible says that he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the earth were laid. He knew us before time. We were in Christ. Then when he brings us on the earth, we are given a choice. Do we choose him? Or do we choose our own way? Now, when we choose Christ, that is when we believe in Christ, then we come and enter into that destiny. We enter into that original plan of God. And when we enter into that original plan of God, His Spirit comes to dwell in us. And that's why the Bible says now Christ comes to dwell in you, and Christ becomes the hope of glory. So God has destined that each of us will enter into His glory. There is a glory that God has given us at this point that we share in His glory. But you see, there is a greater hope of that glory that will come, because for now we are limited in time. For now we are limited in our physical bodies. But the Bible tells us that the more we behold His glory, the more we are transformed. That means our inner man is the one that bears that glory of God. And that's why it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, this mystery that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God chose and chooses to dwell in us is a mystery. And it does not make sense, because how can the God of the whole universe, who fills the whole earth, who is in heaven and who is everywhere, chooses to dwell in you and me? And that's why it says it's a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you and me. Christ in we who have believed. And I was just looking at Galatians, and maybe if we can go there in Galatians chapter 1, we want to see how is it that Paul came about this revelation. Because when we look at the disciples of Jesus, especially the apostles, they never had this understanding. And they only have it later, because the people who have it later, one is John and also Peter. Peter has it later, because if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, or rather in 1 Peter, he does not really have that accurate knowledge. But then in 2 Peter is when now he starts to say, these are the things that Paul has been speaking about, which is hard for people to understand, you know, and how. So Peter later on comes to that true revelation, because what we know is that revelation progresses. As we grow in Him, as we understand Him, we are known as, we are made known. You know, when I was a child, I talked like a child. But now when I am a man, I put childish things away. That means that even as we grow in the things of God, initially there is a revelation that we have of babes. But then as we grow and become perfect, as we grow and become mature in Christ, then there are things that God reveals to us, and our understanding of Him changes. And so likewise we see that Paul, when he is converted, he says that, and I want us to read that from verse, let us read from verse 6, Galatians chapter 1 from verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that ye are soon moved from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there will be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay? Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? For do I now seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's trying to tell them that the gospel that he preached, he was not taught by any man, because the apostles did not have understanding of this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. To them, they were expecting Jesus to come back. They knew that they were preaching the name of Jesus. He's died, he's resurrected, he's the Son of God. Believe in him and you shall have eternal life, you know. And times of refreshing shall come to you and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, you know. That was the message of Pentecost. But you see, he now says that this gospel, verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion, which is Judaism, above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And then it says, but when it pleased God, look at how he says it, it was God's pleasure. And this is one thing you'll have to learn, that for you to come to the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, of God living in you, of it not just being a confession, but it being a solid faith, God giving you a complete assurance, God giving you that inner witness inside you, a feeling, a sign within you that, you know what, actually, God lives inside me. When you hear his voice, when you can, he can give you that assurance, and I pray that God will give you that inner assurance that he lives inside you. When he wakes you up with a song, when he wakes you up with a scripture, when you start hearing a song inside you and you know that the Holy Spirit within you is alive, is singing within you. Now, these are some of the mysteries that you cannot explain to someone. You cannot teach someone what does it mean that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, that the creator of the universe lives in you. It only comes by revelation. And that's why he says, it pleased the Father that to reveal Christ in him. And that's why let us read verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And he says, but other of the apostles I saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Look at what he's saying. He's saying that it pleased God who separated him from his mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. So the thing that made Paul different, the thing that called out Paul to be the apostle, to be unique, to go even beyond the apostles of that time, the apostles who had been with Christ, is that he says that when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. And you see, this is the revelation that Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, that don't you see that I am in my Father and my Father is in me? And he says, it is good for me to go, because when I go, I will go to the Father, and I will ask him to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and you can read this in John 14, I will come with the Father, and we will make our home inside you. So God's Spirit, the Father, and Jesus come and make their home inside of you. But you see, it is a revelation that Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he says that when that happened, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, he's saying, has Christ been revealed in you? Have you come to the understanding, to the true belief that the Son of God, that Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit actually dwells in you?
not just by confession, not just by beyond faith. Yes, the Bible tells us that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. Yes, there's a place of faith. But then, has it gone beyond that faith to be a true testament that you know without a shadow of doubt that there is someone that lives in me, that his son lives in me? And so he said when he discovered that, he went into the wilderness. And this is something, the same way that when Jesus was affirmed that he is the Son of God, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. So in the same way, he went into the wilderness, and in that wilderness, he grew in God. He understood the full mystery of God. He understood the full counsel of God. Then that is when he came back. And then he first went to Peter to explain to him his gospel. Then he saw James, the brother of Jesus, the earthly brother of Jesus, who is the writer of the book of James and also the brother of Jude. He explained to them the same gospel. And then he went and preached it. So immediately, the first time when he gave his life to Jesus, when his eyes were open, he preached, but he did not have this revelation. Then this revelation came to him. And today I pray that God will open your eyes and God will give you this inner assurance, this truth, this insight that goes beyond faith, that there is the Son of God. He dwells in us. And the Bible says this is the mystery that has been hidden from the ages, hidden from generations, the mystery that has been made known to the saints and for the Gentiles, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give life to his words that I have spoken. My brother, you're welcome.
Good afternoon. No addition from my side.
Okay, it is well. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us this morning in a language that we understand, that you desire to be made manifest in us, that each and every person that listens, each and every person that understands, that their eyes be open, their hearts be open to see, to know, to experience, to feel, to walk with you, that indeed it pleases you that Christ to be revealed in them, Christ in them, Christ in us, the hope of glory, just as you chose to reveal yourself, the revelation of Jesus Christ to Paul. You chose to reveal the Son in him. I pray that today it might please you, that they that listen, they that believe, that you shall be pleased to reveal yourself in them to the praise and honor of your holy name. Thank you for them that are trusting in you, them that are depending on you, them that are looking upon you, that they shall hear that voice within them. They shall hear that song within them. They shall hear those scriptures within them. They shall hear that inner assurance that you are with us, that you've never left us, you'll never leave us or forsake us. To the praise and honor of your holy name, may your name be exalted, be magnified, and be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning.